Like, what is a kick? It is true that
roller skating
provides an ecstatic experience. It gives you an incredibly pleasant experience. But this pleasure is not the pleasure that you get from a bottle of beer, or that you get from watching even a good television show. The pleasure you get from
roller skating
is being tuned in. You're turned on to your own nervous system. You're turned on to your own body. You're turned on to the incredible wisdom which lies inside every cell in your body. It's the ecstasy.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Drop In Podcast.
Welcome everyone to season 2, episode 1. Is this
season 3?
Cool. So season 3, episode 1. Glad to be back. And Sigrun and I are coming to you from different places today. I, for the first time, am on Burrippi country.
I'm in Gadigal land of the Eora Nation.
Awesome. And thank you for continuing to listen. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, please do wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a like, a review. I think in Spotify you can even like leave a question now. Or I don't know, there's all these new interactive podcast things that you can do.
Right.
We'd love to hear from you if you're listening. Drop us a line. And I just noticed your very nice chuffed cap that you're wearing. Very stylish.
I'm a hat guy now.
By the time this podcast comes out, you too can grab these caps at the website or Rampapalooza. Very cool caps. I know you can't see them because you're listening, but you have to trust us. They're very cool.
Yeah.
So I thought we could get started today by talking about an event we have coming up in a bit over a month. So it's on the 4th of November at Crowder Space Skate Park. We're involved with bringing the first Concrete Waves Invitational event, which is pretty cool. And we're very lucky that Lake Macquarie City Council has given a grant to put this event on. Always nice to be supported by local government. And they have included it as part of their Let's Surf Weekend, which does not necessarily seem like a perfect synergy, but there is a lot of, crossover between roller skate culture and surf culture, and Lake Macquarie has some really great beaches. They have a junior world comp on for surfing that weekend. So that's happening all weekend, and we fall on the Saturday, and there's also a big roller disco on the Friday night at Spears Point that we're running with 80 Skaties called Rollertopia. 80 Skaties are an amazing local group who do meetups every Friday night, and they're putting so much work into this Rollertopia event. I think it's going to be something pretty special. So are you going to have a boogie, Sugu?
I might have a boogie. You know, I'll boogie if there's boogie.
Yeah, absolutely. So even if you're not into competitions but you want to come and hang out with a bunch of roller skaters, the Friday night is going to be pretty awesome, and even just come and support on the Saturday would be cool.
So Concrete Waves is an invitational style competition, which I think some people might not be familiar with that kind of format. Do you want to explain a little bit about this kind of idea?
Yeah, so with the invitational format, I guess we were looking at all the different kinds of competitions there are and what we've seen before and what we wanted to do. And we decided that it would be really cool to have a competition that recognizes people at the highest skill level who really push themselves and, you know, want to achieve big things in roller skating. We're fortunate as well that there's quite a lot of prize money up for grabs for this. So first place is $1,000. It's a really good opportunity for someone who wants to be at the highest level of roller skating to actually be rewarded in a really cool way for it. So we had to look pretty hard at all the roller skaters in Australia and New Zealand to come up with the first invitational list. Unfortunately, the community, I feel like, is still kind of small enough that if there's people pushing themselves hard, you probably have seen them or know who they are, or someone else knows who they are. So the first list came together and we sent out a bunch of invites to the people we think are pushing the level in Australia and New Zealand. And most of them accepted, which was really awesome. A few sadly can't make it, or, you know, aren't really into competing, even though they're really, really talented. So, you know, that's totally fine. So once those first round of people had accepted, we kind of knew how many skaters there would be in the mix, and we opened up wildcards to make sure that we hadn't missed anyone, because of course it's completely possible that you can miss people in these lists, and we wanted to make it as fair as we can. So with that wildcard spot, people could apply to be included, and then, you know, we would send out an invite and have them in. A few people reached out and said, you know, have you considered this person? Because they noticed that they hadn't been announced, which we took on board as well. So, you know, it may never be perfect, this format, but I think we have a really amazing, talented, awesome list of skaters that I can't wait to see compete. So it's the first time. We might make some learnings as we go, but I'm really, really happy with the list as it's come together. And people seem psyched. Like, there's people coming from everywhere. There's people coming from WA, Tasmania, a bunch of skaters coming from New Zealand.
It's going to be so fun. We just haven't had a big event, like a big roller skating event, in such a long time.
Yeah, I think Rambabalooza is probably the closest in Vic, but, you know, we don't have one in New South Wales, really.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, the other thing is there's so many decisions to make as you go along planning an event like this, and people always have feedback, which is awesome, and we're really open to feedback. But at the end of the day, when organizing, you have to make decisions. You can't keep everyone happy. So, you know, we don't have any gendered categories for this comp, which I'm personally a fan of. And I know there's a lot of conversation about this across many sports. And still some people tell me that, you know, if we do it this way, we're going to end up with a podium of cis men and men, you know, it's not fair to the other skaters. But I'm still not convinced. Like, I want to see it because I think that the level is, you know, so distributed across different genders that I don't see in my mind a podium of cis men. But I'm not judging, and I don't know what's going to happen on the day. So if I'm wrong and we have to reassess it for next year, that's kind of fine. But at the moment, really respecting, you know, trans athletes and what they want, or what I think they want in this sport.
I mean, we've spoken about it in the past. It touches too many people's feelings to do the gendered ones. And I know we still haven't come up with, like, the perfect solution to make absolutely everyone happy. But we think this is the solution that aligns most with those who we care about. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going with.
Yeah, for sure. And this sport is evolving, which is exciting, and we get to make decisions now that we might have to reassess later. But I want, for as long as possible, to keep this as an open-gendered sport where people don't have to make those decisions to enter into a competition. So for as long as we can, I want to hold on to that. And that's not to say there isn't other competitions that are completely valid to have gendered categories if they want to. I think that's also the beauty about organizing things, is that you have to make decisions, but you get to make those decisions based on what you think is best for the sport, and people get to decide to enter or not enter. And the more things we have, you know, the more possibility people can go to the events and comps that resonate most with them.
Yeah.
There is space for many different things. So if people don't like it, I would love to see more things pop up that people think is the right way, and then we get to have more, which is cool. I guess the only other thing that's, like, worth mentioning is that we did have to make, like, a decision around who can enter the event as well, and at least for now, we've made the call that anyone who's currently a competitive rollerblader can't enter, and I know that hasn't sat well with everyone, and that's fine. You know, I came to terms a long time ago with the fact that I'm not going to be able to please everyone all the time. But having seen competitions and opportunities where current professional rollerbladers take those opportunities away from roller skaters that have just been, have come solely into that sport, I decided for this one, we're going to try this format to really give those people the best opportunity right now. But that being said, I do see roller skating evolving at such a fast pace that maybe that's not going to be like that forever. You know, I see the level really lifting. But the thing that always comes to my mind when I think about this is what Greg Preston posted after the Blading Cup thing, which was like, basically Adam Sandler as Billy Madison sitting in a room full of kids. And, like, I just can't get that image out of my mind, right? Like, I feel like it's, like...
Wasn't it a Seinfeld episode? It's a Seinfeld episode, that Kramer is in that karate class all with kids.
Totally. And that's, like... I don't want to underestimate the level of roller skaters at the same time. Like, I fully see the progress that is happening right now, and it is so amazing and it's so valid. But at some point, you just have to accept the fact that someone who's been doing this for like 20 plus years, bringing all this background experience with them, has an advantage over someone who's maybe been doing it for 4 or 5 years. And that's going to even out over time. But at the moment, we had to make a call, and that's the call that we made, because there's $1,000 on the line.
So the rule is that people who have competed in blading, in high-level blading in the past 2 years, can't compete in this competition, right? Yeah. Just to clarify, because I guess...
Not everyone would know that.
I just don't even know how to word it, but... You know what I'm trying to, like, explain.
Yeah, I think, as I said before, like, you can't keep everyone happy. And I always am thinking about, you know, the future of this sport and what I think is fair. And obviously I'm one person and my opinion is just an opinion, and other people have very valid opinions too. But at the end of the day, if they want to go and start an invitational comp and invite all the bladers, they can do that and I'll watch it. But it probably won't be as engaging to me because, you know, I don't think it's fair. But, you know, like, that's the beauty of these things. You know, you don't have to please everybody.
All I can say is don't scream at us, please.
That's probably worth mentioning, hey? Like, I think it's fine to disagree with people, especially people who have decision-making power and who do things. Like, disagree, debate, whatever you want. Don't like it, don't go, don't buy it. It's fine. But I do feel in the last few months in skating, not for me particularly, but I've been seeing a lot of, like, pure anger towards people, which is kind of bizarre. Like, no one owes anyone anything. If someone wants to start a company and make products that don't align with you, they don't owe you the products that you think that they should make. Like, everyone is doing what they feel like they're drawn to do and making creative and life decisions based on their own personal values, and no one owes you something that you should be angry about. And if you're really angry, I think, like, go and do the thing you want, because that's how awesome stuff happens. But it doesn't happen by people lashing out at each other, for sure.
Yeah.
And don't yell at Sugu. Yeah. Don't
try meditating, everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not even a joke. We both do it, because if we didn't, we'd probably be crazy. Like, we would not be able to deal. But not to be too doom and gloom, people are really supportive and awesome too, you know, like, it goes both ways. And I just want to give a really big shout out to all the sponsors who are getting behind Concrete Waves. We've got Brownie Hardcore, Last Supper Wheels, Better Bearings, Chuff Skates, In Quad We Trust, S1 Helmets, Big Mood, World of Wheelcraft, Bettina, and Isle 6. So we have so many sponsors from across all different parts of the industry, which is so awesome to see. And huge shout out to them for getting behind this event in its first year, which is really going to help make it as good as it possibly can be. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the sponsors.
Thank you.
We have a really, really exciting guest today, who will be at the Concrete Waves Invitational event, which is amazing because they are one of the best skaters out there, I think, and it's going to be very cool to see what they can bring. Who do we have today, Sugu?
Well, if you didn't read the title, we have Vashti with us today.
Awesome. Shall we give Vashti a call?
Let's do it. There she is. Hello.
Hey. So welcome to Drop In Podcast. Thanks for chatting with us today.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just feeling nervous. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we've gotten used to it because we've heard our voices so many times now, but everyone's always nervous, so no worries. Would you like to start off by introducing yourself for the listeners?
Yeah, so I'm Vashti. I live in Brisbane, or Meanjin, and I go by she, her, sponsored by Extreme Skates. I guess that's just like my local skate store that is go-to.
Awesome.
Yeah, shout out to Extreme Skates. Nice shop that's been around in Brizzy for ages, so very cool. Mm-hmm.
Vashti is such a cool name, and I'm wondering if it means anything.
I don't have a meaning. Like, I don't know a specific meaning. I think it just means, like, beautiful.
Accurate.
Oh.
I don't think it has, like, a special meaning or anything like that. It's just, yeah.
You just have cool parents who had a cool taste in names.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, like, I have a few siblings, and they were all named after, like, kings or queens or, like, princesses, that kind of thing. So I guess they just decided to stick to a theme.
That's cool. What are the other names?
So Aurora, Beatrix, and Solomon.
My goodness, that is so cool. Wow. Your family could be like in Game of Thrones or something. you have very awesome historical names. That's cool. So I guess we are here to talk about skating. How did you come to roller skating? Like, how did you get into it?
Well, like, a few of my friends, they had some Impalas. Like, they were talking to me about skating. They were like, oh, we got roller skates, like, you should get some. And, like, this was, like 5 years ago or something, or, like, something like that. When they told me, I was like, well, like, nah. I don't know. I was just like, oh, why would you do that? Like, negative when I was like, I was in a state of being like negative about everything. I didn't want to like do anything, or I wasn't feeling motivated to do anything. And then, like, I don't know, a few months later, I just kind of was like, oh, like, I guess feeling better, and was like, yeah, I want to get some. Got some Impalas. And then I, like, as soon as I put them on and I was skating in them, I was like, oh, I love it. But I like, after that first time I put them on, I didn't do it again for a while. And then Jade, like, I think people know Jade, she got some. So then we started going, like, to the skate park just to, like, roll around on the flat ground and courts and stuff like that. And then, yeah, like, I just really, like, I felt, like, good when I was doing it. Like, I just felt like, yeah, this is for me. Like, I really enjoyed it. And, like, I'm sure a lot of people get that feeling. Like, it was just like, yeah, like, this is for me. Like, I love it.
And had you ever had that feeling, like, from anything else before? That feeling of it, like, being your thing?
Like, I think most sports do. It's before I'm, like, doing the sport, I'm kind of like, oh, yeah. But then as soon as I start doing it, I get that feeling of, like, wow, this is good to, like, be active and...
Endorphins, good stuff.
Yeah.
So are you a sporty person? Do you do other sports, or have you done other sports before?
Yeah, so I just, when I was in school, like when I was younger, like primary school, high school, I like to play a lot of sport. Like, I just always enjoyed it. I didn't really stick to one thing. I just like to do all different things, and like just enjoyed playing sport. Like, kind of the strategy of it, I guess, like, that it's difficult to figure out, but also just that you get to, like, run around and be active.
So had you ever put skates on before putting on your Impalas? Like, did you skate randomly as a kid, or was it just really, like, the beginning of the journey was there?
Like I used to do ice skating after school sometimes. Oh. Like I started doing it on school holidays when I was like, I don't know how old I was, maybe around 16. I like used to go on school holidays because like it was near where my parents worked, so it was like easy for us to go there. I just really got into that, and then I started doing some lessons. I wasn't very good at it. I just like I skated around and like they tried to teach me how to do like jumps and stuff, but I didn't do it for very long, maybe like a year, like once a week. So I think then like when I put like my roller skates on, I didn't have to learn all that stuff that I had learned. It was pretty transferable. Like I could skate forward, backwards, like I could do the swivels, and like 180 was pretty comfortable for me. So I think that definitely helped with roller skating. Like I didn't have to learn that first bit, which is probably a big one or could be even 2 years like chunk of time for people. And then also like I did get some derby skates like when I was like 12 or 13 because I watched the movie Whip It and like I really wanted to do roller derby, but my dad, he bought them for me, but as soon as I put them on, because they were like a derby skate, like flat and low, like I couldn't even roll around in them, like I just kept falling backwards. I really didn't leave the house in them, really.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So that makes sense, I guess. Like definitely some of that ice stuff would have transferred over, which makes us all feel a little bit better about how good you are in such a short amount of time. So from there, how did you get so good at roller skating, I guess? Like what does your skate life look like? Do you skate a lot or like
how did it happen? I guess like when I first started, like say the first year or 2 years, that was probably around like when COVID happened. So there wasn't really a lot, like from the first say year that I started, I was skating like as much as I could. I would say like up until like now, I always worked full time, so probably have like 2 days off. So I'd say I would skate like 2 days a week. And then maybe like in like another morning. So like 2 to 3 times a week I'd be skating. It's kind of a weird question. Like you just, I mean, I don't feel like I'm that good, but like, I guess I think the thing like that I would think helped a lot is probably skating with and being around like the rollerblading community, because they're just a lot of them are very, very good. Like they've had so much more time and experience, and they are just like very good skaters. So I guess to be like, see that, be around that, you can ask them advice on anything. They're very friendly. I guess I never thought about it, but the few studio like videos, like of that, like you can see the like year progression of that. Basically my first one, that was probably when I first just met them and was talking to them. And then a year after that, that's when I'm around like the rollerblading community, skating with them a lot. And like, I feel like the progression in that year was like huge for me, like looking at it, because I don't have a lot of like videos, I suppose, to like see the little change like in between that. But yeah, like I never thought like about it, oh, that was like a year, but that was when I first kind of met that community.
So you mentioned there that the few videos for a while were your gauge of seeing your progress over time. So you didn't really film yourself a lot between year one and year two. And then you sat down and you saw year two and you were like, oh yeah, I can see the progress. And I think for a long time, you were someone who really didn't post many videos on social media at all. But that seems to be changing a little bit now. Is it like a conscious thing that you've decided, or is there any, you know, was it so you can see yourself more, or like?
I don't think that it was a conscious thing for me, really. I think you can thank or blame my partner for that. He just like decided like, I'm going to start filming, and because I wouldn't really, if someone's around, I'm skating with someone, that's not, it'd be like 1 in 100 times where I might be like, can you film this? Like, because I think it's good. I guess for me, it's always like, it's never the end of the thing that I'm wanting. Like when I'm skating, like that I'm seeing like that it's going to be this later. So I'm thinking, well, it's just this now, but it's going to be this later, I suppose. So I'm never really like, oh yeah, like I want to film this. If someone asks, like I've been skating with like Kiz a lot, Bowl Baby on Instagram. She films a lot. So I guess like she'd just been filming me. I think it just depends who you're around, because I'm not specifically going and changing anything I'm doing, except for maybe being like a little bit more not conscious about it. Like now it's kind of a bit, feels more like natural, not natural, but like if someone is filming me, I'm not like, oh, you don't need to film me. Whereas normally I would be like, yeah, it's okay, you don't need to film me. Like I'm just skating. Now just deal with it, I guess.
Yeah. But it's kind of cool because I think you do a lot of things that I don't see a lot of people doing. So it's nice when you post because it gives you ideas sometimes, I think. Gives other people ideas of, like, what is possible on quads. I'm not saying you're, like, the first person to ever do any of these things on quads, but you do things that I don't see a lot of the time, which is kind of cool. So, like, if you're not motivated by filming, what gets you in the zone to push yourself to do new stuff?
I guess, like, it is just that thing of I'm seeing it being a bigger picture. Like, you're doing, like, this thing and you're doing this thing, and in the end it's, like, this thing that you want. But I suppose, like, I'm not sure I ever get there. Maybe that's, like, what's motivating me. There's always something, like, more to do. And I think, like, once I started understanding more about tricks, like, learning about tricks, like, I'm someone who will always ask, like, skating around people who are more experienced than me, I can ask them, like, what do you call this? Or, like, how do you do this? Or, like, can you show me, like, what it looks like? I think I'm a very visual learner. So, like, that just pushes me as well. Like, just seeing something that I really like and then, like, I want to do that. Even if it seems really far away, I'm like, no, like, I'm going to do it. Like, that's just what I want. So that's what's motivating me. Like what I was saying before, like, I just feel like skating is for me. And not that it's not for anyone else, just that, like, when I'm doing it for me. I just really enjoy the feeling of doing it, learning something, and, like, how it feels before and after. Like, the difference in feeling is good.
That's awesome. Out of curiosity, you skate with so many bladers. Have you ever tried blading?
Yeah, I have some blades that my partner bought me, but I'm not good at it. Not good, but, like, I just, like, it doesn't matter, but it's more just that, like, I think if I put time into rollerblading, then it would take time away from skating, which is what I'm enjoying right now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, like, I like both, but they're different, but similar.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of more just like, it's there and I can try it, but right now I'm not interested in as much about, like, doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I think some people have sort of talked about, like, you know, doing both and learning from inline, like, skills to take over onto quad. But whenever I put them on, I just suck at it. And I'm like, there's nothing I'm learning here other than to be, like, mad that I'm not good at this. Like, I feel like I would also need to put a lot of time into it. And it isn't, you know, like, it's transferable, but there's a foundational work you have to do to get to that point where it's transferable, like being able to stop or turn around, which I have not mastered. Mm. So it's a great thing, I feel, when you want to be a beginner at something again. And you know, like when you're a beginner and you have like wins in every session because you're learning everything from the beginning. We don't necessarily get that anymore. I don't know about you, Vashti, but like, I don't know if you still feel that or that is like more prolonged now. You have to do a lot of sessions to get something new. But on Blades, I feel like you can put them on and be like, I did something that was cool.
Yeah. They're also like very fast compared to roller skates. Like, so to slow down is hard and to like, yeah, they just feel so fast and I'm like, whoa.
So I guess we've talked a bit about how you're really inspiring for lots of skaters out there because you're doing a lot of different things. And you're very modest too, so you probably hate me being like, you're so inspiring, you're so good, but it's a fact. So like, where do you get inspiration from? Like, who do you
I think like get inspiration from like watching people skating a lot. So definitely watching like rollerblading and roller skating, watching like a lot of rollerblading videos like from like 10 years ago or anything that's coming up, like even like things that people are putting out now like on YouTube and stuff. I think it's really important to watch YouTube videos, like they're a bit more like
curated,
yeah, and like there's a lot of effort put into it rather than just like a minute clip of something. Like it's the whole thing of it, like the music, and it's like showing someone's like personality, the tricks that they're choosing to do. Like I think that can be really inspiring because you're watching something, even if you're not wanting to do the trick that they're doing, you're watching them skating and you're seeing it, and then it's, for me, it's transferring like into my brain. I'm thinking about the trick, like how they're doing it, what they're doing, like it's putting ideas in my head for which like then I can move around, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think just looking at all different forms of skating as well, like at the skate park you get to see everyone, like the people you skate with, so like that's inspiring. And talking about it as well, me and my partner talk about skating a lot, like tricks, how you do them, like we play it out, I suppose, like in person, like what would it be like if, you know, turning this way, where would I be? Like I think talking about it, that gets me really motivated because I'll be thinking about it and thinking about like different tricks like connecting together. And if you're having a conversation about it with a group of people, even just about like the tricks you're doing, and they're like, well, what if you do this? Like, I think it opens up the inspiration to more things. I'm not sure if like my definition of inspiration is like the same, but I guess like what motivates me to do it is just, yeah, watching it and talking about it. I think because I'm very passionate about it, that talking about it just gets my brain like moving with it. And that definitely helps me a lot because I'm like a visual learner.
In saying you're a visual learner, do you always visualize yourself before you go into a session? You're always like, this is what I'm going to do. And do you just go and try what you want to do? Or do you break things up before? Are you like send it or break it up kind of learner?
I think that, like, I'm definitely not a send it skater. I don't really know how anyone could be like that, but I'm not sure, I guess, how their brain works. I'm not, like, I don't know how you can do something that you don't understand. It's not like you can just go at something and not understand it, I think, like, or it probably just doesn't end well.
Yeah, you've seen Instagram.
Yeah, maybe Vashti hasn't seen Instagram because I feel like she gets her inspiration from YouTube. She doesn't post that much. Maybe she doesn't know that send it is a real thing.
Yeah, I definitely think I'm not like that. I do like use social media like to watch. I've always watched stuff on social media, even if I'm not posting. Like I've always watched videos because it's just another form of like being able to watch something. Yeah, definitely not a send it skater. I think in my brain, like have like the hardness of trick from like here. So I kind of know like what is in between, what I'm okay with trying. If I think the body movement is like similar, I might try it. I think sometimes like I'm thinking like I should just try this thing. Just going and trying something you want to do, you might surprise yourself to realize like it's actually not that it's not that hard, but maybe just like your body likes that movement. Like it
mm-hmm.
it understands it easily, like more easily than you think it does.
Yeah, unless it's like maybe a backflip and you have zero gymnastics experience, then like your body's probably yeah. not gonna like that movement. But I do hear yeah. what you're saying. Like sometimes you don't even realize in your brain that a new move is just like a quarter turn different to something you already have, or something, and then suddenly you find like
that. Yeah, I think like it's good like, to learn something new or different, even if it's not something you think is useful. You realize like later, like that it was useful. You don't know how, but it's like, I feel like sometimes I'll be doing something and then I'll learn something new and I'll be like, well, it must have been like from this thing that I was doing that I didn't even realize, and I kind of connect, but it was like, oh, well, it's because I had to learn to move my body this way or something like that. Definitely helps.
I just thought of a question because you're coming to the Concrete Waves comp in November. Do you like competing? Are you, because you've done sports before and, you know, you have this kind of sporting background. Often people who come from sporty backgrounds are quite like into competition. But do you like it, or does it make you nervous, or how do you feel about it?
I've never been in a sport that's like, I guess, competing, apart from like group team mm-hmm. sports. I don't really have, like, I guess I have mixed feelings about it. I think it makes me nervous, but I think it kind of drives me to have that feeling of like, because it's not really anxiety, it's you are anticipating something. I feel nervous about competing, but I'm not worried about it because I know I'm not concerned with the outcome of it. If that makes sense. Yeah. I just want to like say on the day for this particular competition or like any competition, like I just want to do my best that I can do on the day. And if I feel like good with that, then like that's like what it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a very good and wise way of looking at it, I think. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Awesome. So, lots of roller skating and skating in your life, but what do you do when you're not skating? I've heard you're a pretty good baker, which personally I'm like, yum.
I don't really do anything. Like, I just work and, I'm not baking at the moment. Like, I was working as a baker for, like, 8 years. But I started getting, like, sore back and, like, the workload was a lot for me. So I had to stop doing that. So I'm just kind of, like, doing, like, a casual, like, kitchen job. But I guess that's good. I have more time to skate now. So, like, I will take that time if I can. I don't really do anything. Just hang out home. Think about skating when I'm not skating.
You have pets? Do you have pets?
Yeah. I have, like, 2 cats and a dog. So, really just hang out with them. Yeah. Not very interesting. Like, I just like to relax and see family if I have time.
Nice calm lifestyle so that you can focus on all the awesome skating. But you did go on a big trip this year to Europe, right? What was that like?
Well, I went with my partner and some of our friends. They all rollerblade. So the main purpose of the trip was to go to Winter Clash, which is like a big rollerblading competition in Eindhoven. And then we decided to like extend the trip for another week to go to Barcelona because they wanted to do some like street skating there, do some filming there. I really enjoyed going to Winter Clash, the competition, like just like seeing all the different skaters, watching them skate. It was amazing. And getting to meet more people from that community, I really enjoyed that. Like, I feel not... Oh, that's my cat.
It sounds like a baby.
That competition is huge, hey?
Yeah, it's a big competition. They have, like, a lot of pros coming. The, like, course, it's, like, looks crazy. Like, it looks so big, I don't even know how I'd skate it, get from, like, one side of the park to the other side of the park.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's mainly just a lot of fun. It's not, like, I don't think anyone takes it, like, too seriously.
Didn't the guy that win, he, like, did a grind and then a backflip out of the grind?
Oh, Julian Kiddo, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think even he had like a cast on, like he had hurt his wrist or something still.
Yes. Yeah, so nuts.
Do you feel when you see that stuff, Vashti, do you feel sometimes that you're like looking into the future? Because I feel like you've also watched like all the old like 90s blading videos, right? And they were doing like frontsides in rails and stuff. And now they're doing crazy grinds to backflips off rails. Do you think roller skating is going to get to that point?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the old, like old rollerblading videos do look similar to like where roller skating is now. So I definitely think that could be a possibility, but I think it just depends like where the community decides to go, like what people decide to do with skating.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm always curious because I see the progression of roller skating, even in just like the last 6 months, I feel like it's just accelerated. Like someone put their foot down on the accelerator real hard, and people are just like going at a pace that I haven't seen in all the time that I've been skating before. So
yeah,
very cool to see.
I mean, I think like we're also lucky because, like, not that this sport hasn't been around for a long time, just that now, like, we have social media to share it quicker. So, like, we can learn from all the other action sports as well. Take from that, like, look at the negatives and the positives of it. We don't have to, like, yeah, we can kind of, like, look at something that's happened in another skating community and be like, well, that didn't work for them, yeah, so we shouldn't do that. We can look at everyone and learn quickly. I think that we have the ability of that, but I also don't think like that's going to be me doing like that stuff that is like
you're not going to do a backflip out of a grind, is that what you're saying?
No.
Spoiler alert, everyone's only coming to Concrete Waves to see you do a backflip out of a grind, so you've just broken all their hearts.
I don't think I can even do a backflip, but I don't think that's going to be me, but I think it's important for, like, future generations of roller skaters to set up for them, like, learn as much as we can about our skates, like, tricks, so that we can teach them. They don't have to go through all the process of, like, learning by themselves and doing it themselves, like, you know, like, you get to, like, teach them something. They don't have to, like, go through all the small things that aren't necessary, like the things that are bad, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to see what kids coming into it now are going to be able to do. Like, we spent a long time in quad skating a few years ago being like, how the hell does anyone do a 50-50 on quad skates?
Oh,
and, you know,
God,
like, it was very mind-blowing at the time. Like, we were all, like, really in this thing of, like, this is crazy. And then that moment passed really quickly. And, you know, as soon as you know that something is possible, it's so much more achievable, I think.
Yeah.
And that happens daily now, I think, for people. So it's quite a rapid and hectic progression, which I'm so here for.
Yeah.
So I think we're in this position as an industry, which other industries have definitely been through before, where the level of roller skating is progressing so fast that the gear is having to like keep up or catch up in some instances. And obviously product development is like this cycle that takes a long time. So sometimes gear is like coming out that was suitable for skating when it started to be developed, and now is like skating is like moving on, and we're in a fortunate spot where we can learn as we go. But because it's happening so quickly, it does mean that, like, yeah, it's just this whole like cycle, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree in some way, but I think as well, like, I don't think that we don't have the right tools to learn
things. Oh, totally.
Because
totally.
I feel like as I learn more and I do more, I realize that a lot of it is skill error. Like, I don't know where something is, and I'm thinking, oh, it's because of this. Like, it's because of this. I need to change this, or it's because of this. Definitely things have been, like, trucks and, like, there are things that have benefited, like different skates, blocks. But, like, I don't think we need anything in particular that's going to make the skate better that I can see right now. For me, like, I just have to learn. I just have to skate more and do more things. And I think that the, like, tools will work with
it. Yeah, I hear.
Apart from things like breaking and stuff like, that's going to happen. You're doing skating and, like, that just happens.
Totally.
You're putting all of your weight into this tiny thing. You can try and absorb as much shock as you can, but, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually totally agree with you. And I do think we have to normalize breaking gear in roller skating. I think in skateboarding, it's just, like, you break something and you're like, oh, well, yeah, like, I skated it hard and it broke. But for some reason, sometimes in roller skating, people think gear should last forever, which is just unreasonable. But it can, in some instances, it can also be improved.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, I do agree with what you're saying, but, like, while also acknowledging room for improvement, but not blaming the gear for the lack of progression, I think.
Yeah, like, it's definitely going to be useful to make things stronger and work better, but, like, that is slow, as you said. It's slow. It can take a long time to make a good product, so, like, can't just be expected to be done straight away.
Yeah.
Like, could take, like, 2 years for something to become better.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth it once it does happen.
Yeah. For sure.
Amen.
For sure.
Well, we're going to start wrapping up, and we're doing a bit of a different thing for this season. So I have a question for you from our last guest, who was Michelle Barrios, who organizes Skate Love Barcelona. If you haven't listened to that episode, listen to it, everyone. And she sent this question to you without knowing that it was going to be you, though. And she said, how do you manage your personal balance?
I'm not sure. I think it can be hard sometimes, like, choosing between, like, what you want to do and what somebody else wants to do, or, like, somebody else wants you to do. Yeah, like, I think for me, like, sometimes I tend to, like, take on more than what I want to take on. And it doesn't seem like a lot, like, oh, just taking on this small thing, or like, yeah, I want to do this and I want to do this. Like, I have all these ideas of things I want to do, or I just, like, want to help someone with something. But then it can become, like, a lot. And I feel like the pressure of having to do that thing, but I'm the only one who's, like, forcing myself to do that thing. So, yeah, I guess that was, like, did with that choice, I did prioritize, like, what I wanted, which for now is to just, like, relax and just not, like, be thinking about, like, work and having it, like, stress me out and be like, I have to do this, like, I have to do it, because, like, I didn't have to, I guess.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that can be so important, prioritizing own well-being. And as part of this new format, we're going to get a question from you, which we're going to pass on to our next guest. So, yeah, trying something new. And the other new thing that we're going to try is we're going to be ending each of the episodes with a lightning round of questions. So I'm going to ask you some questions and you just have to answer them as quickly as you can. So some are more easy than others, but we'll see how we go. So first question, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Pizza or ice cream?
Pizza.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Street or transition?
Street.
Alley-oop or true spin?
True spin.
Dogs or cats? Your pets are going to be very upset. You have to choose.
Cover their ears.
Cats. Oh. I'm not really a dog person. I do have a dog, but I just like my dog.
Fair. Okay, rails or ledges?
Ledges.
The last song that you listened to?
Weird Fishes by Radiohead. That's the last song I was listening to.
All right, last movie you watched?
I don't watch movies. I don't know.
Do you watch TV shows?
Oh, I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé. It's like the ridiculous American show where they have to marry after 90 days. It's ridiculous and very dramatic. So that's what I'm watching at the moment.
Yeah. Shocking. Nice. Trashy TV. Love it.
Yes.
And the last question, if you could get a free flight right now, where would you go?
I'd probably go to America. It's very expensive to get over there. I definitely want to go there for skating, to meet lots of skaters. And, the parks look amazing, so.
The US it is.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I know the US would be stoked to hear that because when I've been there, people ask about you all of that. Hopefully you'll get there one day.
Mm.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. And we're really looking forward to seeing you in November. Enjoy all your free time skating.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
Drop In Podcast is a Chuff Skates production hosted by Sugu Valbuena Sanchez and me, Samantha Trahan. This podcast is recorded and edited on Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be. The opening track features samples from Dr. Timothy Leary's 1967 song, Turn On, Tune In, Drop Out, and a 1966 interview between Merv Griffin and Dr. Leary.
Thank you to our guests for dropping in to talk about all things roller skating and to you for listening.
If you'd like to be notified of new episodes, follow at Chuff Skates on Instagram and subscribe to Drop In Podcast on Spotify.
I feel not... Oh, that's my cat going off.